Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Welcome, welcome back to Feed Your Wild. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, your intuitive nourishment guide today and every episode. I am excited for you to join me on this particular episode as we dive into this new moon in Sagittarius, December 12th, 2023. I first want to go over some dates that we've already went through, sort of as a quickie overview and bringing us up to this moment, and then we'll get into the energetics of this moon. And what else is going on in the skies that could be supporting us and, yes, challenging us to grow, evolve, and to receive what is available to us. I have really been looking at my relationship with challenges as a three line with human design. The three lines are really about experimentation, trial and error, and moving through life, really navigating and befriending challenges, learning to really work with what could be presented as a challenge or a setback or a roadblock, but really learning to look at it as an opportunity to learn, and not just learn, you know, what it is that we need to know to get through the particular challenge, but to learn all the different lessons that are available to us in those really potent times. A lot of self-assessment and introspection that is available to us in times of challenges. Also looking at reorienting ourselves, our view of ourselves, of others, of the world, and looking at the ways that we might blind ourselves to other types of views that could lead to easier pathways, more efficient pathways. And it's not all about making things easier or more efficient, but also ways, pathways that have greater opportunity for us to become just better humans. So that is just a little bit of what I have gleaned as a third line in my 40 years here. And I have been really navigating some deep and also, I would say, very ancient challenges in my own personal life experience over the past few years. And, you know, there are some challenges in my life and in others' lives that are very obvious and big, and, you know, kind of like these big life changes or traumatic changes and dramatic shifts. And then there are those that run deep. And the flavor of them, like the smell, I'm a smell cognition. So a lot of my language and the way that I orient myself to the world and in a sensorial way and an intuitive way is really being able to smell things out, to sniff things out. And I can do so when I walk into a room. I can just sniff out like who's who, what's going on, you know, getting a read of the energetic field in that way, very primal. When it comes to these, I guess you could say, karmic experiences, opportunities, challenges that we journey with, that we're really meant to navigate. And there's many different expressions that it might take in our lives, depending on the choices that we make. But there's always this, like the smell of it is there, a hint of the smell, kind of like when You know, somebody had just finished baking some cookies, but that was maybe 2 hours ago, and they've cleaned up the entire kitchen, and you go in, but you still smell the remnants of it, right? Well, this is also a form of precognition. Like, you could sort of smell or tune into, and if smell isn't your cognition or way of, you know, receiving information, tuning into, maybe listening to the sounds, the background music that's always kind of been playing, but it's been drowned out by other sounds. Kind of like when you go into a grocery store and there's music playing, and maybe at first you notice it, but then you stop noticing it until you leave and you're like, oh, like that sound was there. That music, that song was there. And you find yourself humming it, even though you weren't consciously aware that the song was even playing. That's what this is like. We all come into our incarnations with a deep knowing, and it's not conscious. This is in our unconscious realm. This is in our soul field. But we have a knowing of where we're going and what we're going to move through, what we're going to meet along the way. And I've had these experiences as a child. I remember having dreams that were, I guess you could say, precognition dreams, where I would dream of a big challenge or a dramatic thing that was going to present and face my family. It wasn't the like exact thing that presented in my dream, as in a literal sense, but the flavor of it, the smell of it, the taste of it, it held the same vibrational frequency. So for example, I used to have dreams of this black tsunami that was coming to this castle that my family and I were living in. And we had family portraits in the hallway. And this black tsunami overcame this tower that we were in. And we were all floating in this black tsunami. And I saw each person in my family having their unique experience. And I saw my mom really being challenged more than the rest of us. And that dream stopped coming after my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer. And the rest is history with that. If you're not familiar with my origin story of how I came into this work, I encourage you to tune into earlier episodes, the very first episode, episode 000, where I actually talk about why I even started the podcast and how my mom and her journey with cancer was a big catalyst into launching me and my own life purpose. So this was something that I knew was coming. I would also experience this level of anxiety, and I think a lot of children do too, whether it's from previous lives or feeling it from people around them or in more of a precognition type of way, this level of anxiety that isn't necessarily, quote, rational, but is absolutely tethered to something. And so these soul level, karmic level challenges in our lives that are really meant to bring us to a certain point in our path and contribute to our soul evolution, evolutionary process on a personal level, as well as, you know, how we plug into the collective evolutionary process. These can be felt very deeply. And it's my belief that our primal body is always in the know, because we are quite literally plugged, like our body is an expression of our soul. And it's the sacred temple, the vehicle that we have chosen and created to experience this life in this way. And so we can feel some of these challenges that present. And, you know, I think even starting with COVID, this is something that we could talk about on a collective level, right? Because we've all sort of been initiated into this massive collective field of challenges with COVID, at least in our generation, right? Because clearly there were many different global catastrophes and challenges in the past, but we've experienced it in a very unique way in the time that we live in. So now we could talk about these collective challenges and fields, right, like these points, these pivot points on a collective level, I think in a way that people now really get, really understand. And the astrology is really critical at this time for us to come back into a deep relationship with the stars and an understanding of how they interplay with our evolutionary process. It's not a fatalistic system. We have our free will, yet there is so much that has been put, we could say, like karmically placed, destiny points, if you will. And so we can sense into those because it's almost like we have this inner GPS. And very often we could disconnect from that. Like, I think that we have, on a very big scale, for so many people, simply by disconnecting from the body, disassociating from the body. That's one level of, you could say, disconnection and dissociation. But I think also this separation of spirituality and one's soul and the spiritual realm with like the earthly, material, and quote, scientific, conventional scientism way of viewing things, when really there is no separation, like absolutely no separation. The physical world is an expression of the spiritual world. And so the more that we can remember that and remember ourselves back into that deep, deep connection and knowing of who we are on a grander scale at that soul level, then we can move through what are presented as challenges or maybe initially perceived as challenges in a way that is much more, I don't want to say easier because it's not easier, but nuanced and receptive to the lessons, the teachings that are available to us, the gifts, the silver lining, like whatever language feels correct for you and lands for you. There is always that. There is always something that we can learn and walk away with. But we have to do something with that. It's not something that we just, oh, that's interesting. You know, I just learned this, and then go about in the same way that, you know, business as usual. We are meant to awaken and then make the shifts that are aligning us to, it's like a course correction, right? Aligning us to a healthier, more life-affirming, regenerative way of being and living. So this is my preamble to this lunation. And it's not that this lunation is all about challenges and it's a really tough one. But I think, you know, we're coming toward the end of the Gregorian calendar year. This is a time where a lot of us are going to come into deep introspection and look back at the previous year and start to look forward into the year that is ahead of us. And we also have Mercury stationing retrograde the same day, roughly, as our new moon today. So in Capricorn. So I'm going to get into that and how all of this relates. But first, let's take a look at what we've moved through already. December 1st, Mercury entered Capricorn. So Capricorn, ruled by Saturn, being very boots on the ground, very practical, discerning, structure, all about structure and systems, connected to the bones and minerals. So Mercury here, this is really about setting real intentions that are applicable here in the material realm, right? That like actually getting this shit done and communicating in a way that is really practical and clear and maybe some more structure around it. Just really literally cutting to the bone of things. December 4th, Venus entered Scorpio. So this being really connected to deep, deep intimacy. It's going to remain there until the end of roughly the end of December, December 29th. So we're still in the feels of Venus and Scorpio. And this is an invitation to really embrace the transformative power of our relationships, of relating, you know, no matter how, quote, toxic you might experience it, whatever particular relationship this is bringing to mind, you know, there's transformation that can happen from beautiful, light-filled, loved-filled experiences, blissful experiences. And there is transformation, of course, that can happen from the muddy waters, from the shit, from the compost, and from that death rebirth process. So that's what Scorpio is really all about, right? So love really not being just connected to the commercialized Hallmark version of love, or even just like the gestures and the surface level agreements that are easy to give and receive. But this is about the deep, like in the cavernous depths, right, of who we are, the unconscious aspects of who we are. Can we bring love to that level? Can we receive love at that level? And Scorpio is not afraid to go deep, right? And really teaches us about what true intimacy is. And true intimacy requires vulnerability. It requires being seen in all of your truth, being unfiltered, being also witnessed and witnessing the same in others. And in holding and seeing these truths, like holding it with love, despite how ugly, right, it may be, how challenging it is to witness or view, how hurtful also it can feel, can we still bring love to these layers and these depths? So I think this is something that we can continue to bring into with this new moon. And just a couple days after Venus had entered Scorpio, we had Neptune stationing direct in Pisces. And Neptune rules Pisces. This, we're going to get more into this, but this is really like this big ship that's just sort of shifting direction. So it's amplifying the symbolism behind this sign, which is really about dreaming and intuition, boundarylessness, so fluidity. And we'll take a look at how this plays a role, because Neptune is very active in this lunation. And then, of course, we come to today, December 12th, with this new moon in Sagittarius, and pretty soon Mercury stationing retrograde in Capricorn. So let's come back to Neptune. I mentioned Neptune stationing direct in Pisces at 25 degrees of Pisces on the 6th, and magnifying really the symbolism of this planet. Now, on a less positive side, we can experience this as overwhelm, fogginess, disillusionment, confusion. And Neptune in the late degrees of Pisces really brings us to the waters of what we could say collective delusion. So this is something that we need to, now, of course, on the positive side, this is amazing for creativity, for intuition, for your dream work, and for connecting with the arts, music, and bringing us to a higher level of sensitivity to vibrations, to one another, and really that yearning for a deep connection with the divine. So now this is very ethereal, right? This is very ethereal in nature, but it is the bedrock of spirituality. So I think that we can navigate Neptune. Now, we're also going to see that Neptune is square here to the new moon, which I'll talk about in a moment. But even just with this stationing direct in Pisces, there's almost like a sense that we lose density. Like there's a reduction in our density as material beings. And I think for people with a lot of Neptunian or Piscean influence, or those without a ton of earth in your chart, like me, we can already kind of, like, that might be your reality already, right? Where you just don't have a good sense of time, space. You are, we could say, you know, disembodied, but there's a difference between a dissociative disembodiment and just like your design of how you are. And so my perennial medicine to myself is to remember to be wildly rooted, which is why that's the name of my company. But I think for all of us in this time, we might be experiencing more of a loss of sense of that time space and of us as these like denser earth beings. And so probably more strongly for this first half of the month. So also a dissolving sense of separation between us. So you might start to quite literally feel the feelings of others or think the thoughts of others much more easily. Then we have this new moon in Sagittarius. It's at 20 degrees of Sagittarius, and you might want to take a look at where this is falling in your chart and what sign this is falling in your chart. Sagittarius is, this is my rising sign, so I can speak, I think, from more of like a felt sense and knowing of what this flavor and energetic influence is in my own life experience. Hope, optimism, future orientation. This is about also personal growth and expansion. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, which is the planet of expansion. So there's an expansion of whatever really is happening during this new moon in general. Sagittarius is also very much connected to freedom and law and justice and desire to look forward. So if we can imagine this centaur, like the horse man with a bow and arrow, that is Sagittarius. And so that arrow being pulled back and looking at where we're going to shoot our self, our will, our vision, our energy. And so really future oriented, but in a way that is like really culminating your energetic presence in the now. New moons are about planting new seeds, right? This is a point in the lunar cycle where we get to really tune into what is it that we want to create in this next cycle. It's a reminder of this ancient birth process. It's also a cleansing and healing moon. So this is a time to give thanks to yourself, your creative life force and energy, creative spirit that really births all that is awake in your life right now. And this is also about creating new ventures and ideas and journeys. This is honoring them with beginnings. So this is about the beginnings. And this is a dark moon, of course. So the powerful darkness of the new moon is also really an ideal time to set out any objects that you want to use in the month or times ahead, and to begin to visualize what it is that you want to call into your life and co-create. This is also about how to integrate your current and past life experiences as you move forward. So this is a very inspiring new moon with Sagittarius. There's also an extra oomph with Mars activated here, so extra fire there, which we'll get into in a moment. But with Sagittarius, it's really infused with this desire for growth and evolution and enthusiasm. It's aspirational in, I think, a healthy sense, because I think there can be aspirational in more of a delusional sense, although Neptune is at play, so there can be a little bit of that too. So pay attention, you know, there's a difference between the two. There's a difference, and I think it's rooted in seeing clearly, being able to see the reality versus rose-colored glasses. So there might be this sense of possibilities that you could tap into in this time, like something that you're looking forward to. Perhaps it's just a feeling or an energy current that is running through, but this is something that you can absolutely work with setting your new moon intentions. Now, with North Node in Aries, it can also feel like you're ready, really ready for a new start, like wanting to go ablaze. We also have Chiron in Aries, and Chiron is the wounded healer. This energy could be helping you to really realize what wounds you have been healing. and that you have, but you're working on tending to those wounds. And maybe how you have some wounds that have been through a healing process, and now they are gifts for you that you can move forward with and utilize. So now you're more ready than you were before to really move forward on something. That's kind of the feel of this energy. And maybe you've been through some shit, right? Like I think all of us have. It's been a really, really tough past few years. You could be really ready for this new moon to be sort of this launch pad, if you will, to plan something or to move ahead with the integration of the lessons and experiences from that challenging experience and from a healed place, a healing place, not from a wounded and lack of resourced place. We have to bring ourselves to a level of resourcefulness, right? Like resourcing, tapping back into resourcing so that we can move forward in the highest way for ourselves. So really not allowing the past to hold you back and acknowledging that you have changed, you've grown, and you have new gifts and understanding to move forward in a way that is much more aligned for you. This is something where you might say to yourself, I'm ready to move forward and not repeat the patterns of the past. That's a third line mantra, right? Like once you have fully learned and integrated those lessons, it's like the world card. Once you move through that, you don't have to learn the lessons again when you do so in a truly holistic, integrated way. So how can you make sure before you move forward that you do integrate it, that you're not bypassing, that you're really looking at all facets of the lesson of the situation and integrating it into your being so that you could be this next level of yourself, next version of yourself that is more aligned with who you know yourself to be in the highest way. Hey there, I'm interrupting this lovely conversation to bring you a special invitation. If you are a clinician, a practitioner, a healing artist of any level, maybe you're just starting out, or perhaps you're a seasoned practitioner, if you feel that your soul is aching for a change, that something is calling you, you want to go deeper with your medicine, you want to know and expand your intuitive gifts, you know that your calling is to be an intuitive holistic healer, but you're not sure what that means or looks like. Well, I have a special private training where you will learn my 3-part intuitive healing matrix. This is the foundational piece for all holistic healing practices. And it's what has guided my work and so many others. This private training is called How to Create a Transformative Intuitive Healing Practice You Love. And you can get access to this training for free when you apply and are accepted to the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, aka WIP. This is our high-touch, 9-month intuitive healing mentorship and practitioner mastermind. On this journey inside of WIP, you'll be initiated into the Akashic Records, becoming a reader and a practitioner for intuitive connection, experiencing deep self-healing and unparalleled support for your clients and patients. You'll discover your intuitive gifts and break through blocks, limiting beliefs, fears, and programmings that are holding you back. You'll also channel an integrated body of work that synthesizes your innate gifts, experience, and wisdom. The Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway is an initiation. It's your chariot that will carry you into your next level of healing, both personally and in your work. So I invite you to learn more and apply. You can go to wildlyrooted.com/apply. There are no risks or obligations to join after you apply. And if you're accepted, you'll get that private training on how to create a transformative intuitive healing practice you love. Head over to wildlyrooted.com/apply. There's five planets in mutable signs. Mutable signs are very malleable. So the energy here is very malleable, chameleon-like, shapeshifter, also very adaptable and flexible. So there is that energy here too. Like, just a reminder to stay adaptable, stay flexible, because things are going to kind of be a little shifty or may not truly be what they seem to be. So I brought up Neptune before. Neptune here is squaring the new moon. This might give us a feeling of being lost a little bit, getting lost, feeling like maybe we're being swept away, or we want to escape, we want to forget about shit. But on the positive side, it's really good for, like I said, dreaming and fantasizing and using your imagination. And imagination is such an integral part of creation, of creating something that is not in existence prior, of imagining the possibilities and then staying open to what is possible beyond the limitations of your own imagination. So this is really critical for the creating the future when we're looking at this squaring a new moon in Sagittarius, daring to dream. Can you dare to dream your dream into being? Now, this is not necessarily about taking action right now. This is about setting the intentions, planting those seeds, especially with Mercury going retrograde. It's not necessarily about like making this shit happen right now. There's some sacred tending and space that is needed for the magic to happen. And you don't have to be the one to pull out the roots and make the damn seed grow, right? Like, there is an innate intelligence in that cosmic seed to sprout and to grow, and it knows better than you. Your job is to get really clear on what it is that you desire. And you can utilize contrast for this, because I know so many people don't know what they want, but they know what they don't want. And you can use contrast in that way. What don't you want? What is no longer aligned? What are you letting go of? Absolutely. Okay. Now, what does that mean moving forward? What does that look like for your choices, for the way that you choose to be, who you surround yourself with? So, what would it look like? What would your life look like if XYZ? This can be applied to obviously your personal life, but also the greater good of the collective. This energy can help to give a vision to the future and a spiritual context to it. This Neptunian, that connection with the spiritual, can bring a level of depth and connection to the mystery and a sense of like the mystic coming in, right? And also philanthropy. So supportive for people, and what can we do for the collective good? And that is very much connected to Jupiter in Taurus. And I've talked about that in previous episodes. We're going to continue to talk about that. But how can we share in a greater way? What can I commit to that is also going to support the collective? And this doesn't mean it has to be in a really tangible way, because obviously we know if you are resourced and happy and healthy and resilient, that you can do a lot more good than you can when you are tired and you don't have resources and you're in a place of stuckness in your life. Now, there isn't any good or bad with it. There's no morality with it. And we're all going to be in those places, those you call it like a magical dark place where we feel super stuck and we feel like we can't contribute. And that's absolutely probably part of a evolutionary process for you. Like, it's a bad thing that you're in that space. And if you're feeling that right now, just know that it's not for you to feel bad that you can't, quote, contribute. There's something here for you. There's something here for you. So how can you be here for it and open up to receive so you can move through in a way that is really supportive for you? I think there's also a level here of discipline that is being asked for. as it relates to spiritual integrity and commitment. So with Neptune here, it's almost like all this talk about the spiritual and dreaming and imagination can feel airy-fairy. What we are meant to do with this is to utilize it and integrate it in our life ways, just as they were for most of humanity before we were really sort of disconnected, like systemically disconnecting humanity from our soul work and our spiritual understanding of the world and relationships in that way, and our sense of the sacred. So how can we reclaim that in very practical, integrated ways? And there needs to be discipline around that. It has to become habitual. And I like to see discipline as like being a disciple of yourself. So embedding spiritual practices in your daily routine, in your day-to-day life way, maybe it's with prayer and meditation or contemplation was brought up in our most recent Akashic Soul Record reading for the collective. Perhaps it's water scrying, connecting with the waters, candle gazing. Maybe it's breath work. Maybe it is a committed dream work practice. Maybe it's listening to specific mantras or chants or audios. So find what is both feels good for you, but also feels aligned and expansive for you. And also pay attention to your own frequency, your set point. Bring cognizance around what are you emitting frequency-wise, like vibration, like you can actually measure it. So if you want to, you can bring in some insights around the heart coherence and heart rate variability. That's something that you can test. There's devices for that. There's probably, I'm not quite sure anymore, but I'm pretty sure there's apps that are available that will help to assess that for you. That's a very tangible way to start to measure and bring specific numbers, measurements that you can see and track that are connected to a level of vibration or frequency that you are not just emitting, but like you're holding. And obviously with heart rate variability, it is giving you a read on the coherence of your heart rate and the health of your vagus nerve, your nervous system set point. So that's really good information. And you can see how things impact your heart rate variability, but also just like tuning into your body and your energy field, like taking moments throughout the day to tune in and say, okay, what am I vibrating at? Like, what am I putting out into the world? Is it contractive? Am I feeling fear all the time, chronically, even on an unconscious level? Or is there a level of openness, expansion? These levels, maybe you won't say love per se, but maybe there is another word that's coming to you. Can you put a word, name the state of frequency or vibration that you are sensing, you are emitting, that you're vibrating at? Also looking at what are you consuming and what are you sharing on social media, in texting, in emails, in your communication and dialogue with people, noticing your language patterns, noticing your reaction patterns. What do you react to? What do you tend to share out automatically without actually tuning in to see, is this something that is going to be supportive to share? Or is it just sort of passing information that could actually contribute to the static or noise? And worse, bring people down. Now, it's not about all love and light and ignoring things and information that is shitty or terrifying or devastating, right? There is obviously integrity in being in truth and sharing truth, but there's a difference between sharing that in a way that has a frequency of love behind it versus sharing it in a way that has a frequency of hate and fear behind it. Notice the difference in every aspect of your life. Just pay attention. I think that's what we're really being called to do here, because we're going to lift out of really shitting and challenging experiences by shifting our orientation and our frequency. And I know that could sound so woo-woo, which I'm totally woo-woo, right? Like, obviously, like, I'm a channeler, I'm into astrology, like, I speak to flowers, but I love science. I love data points. I love conversation. I love diversity in beliefs and understandings. I think it's really critical. And having conversations that allow for all ideas and opinions, like levels of vibration, even like diversification in that. But if you're drowning in it every day, who is that helping? What is that doing for you? So there's an invitation I'm feeling for us to lift ourselves, and allow ourselves to be supported, to be lifted by others too, to not push it away or reject it right away, and to also get really disciplined around our own practice so that we are in integrity with a more spiritual way of being in our lives, like what that means for you, because it's going to be different for each person. So finding what it means for you, not what somebody else is doing on TikTok or Instagram that makes them look, quote, more spiritual. Like, what is it for you? And getting really clear on that. So there's this greater sense of devotion and just a remembrance process that happens through this devotion and this discipline. Mercury, I mentioned, goes retrograde today / tomorrow. So December 12th / 13th, depending on where you are in the world, through January 1st. Now, the blend of these two energies, of this new moon and Mercury retrograde in Capricorn, Mercury in Capricorn, this also feels expansive and dreamy, but also resilient and headstrong. There's something about this that feels like we can utilize this window, especially this day, to look at what we've been through in this past year and to learn from it, like really practically. And while I feel like not a lot of people are doing year-long plans anymore, you know, like the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, I know myself, I'm doing like 3-month plan, you know, I'm doing 6-month feels a stretch for me these days. So long-term planning may feel maybe a little out of touch or larger than life, but today, and with this Kazemi happening on December 22nd, the same time as winter solstice, is such a magical time, these two points feel like they're making these longer-term visions and larger-than-life dreams and visions more achievable. When we can tap into this dragon-like energy of Sagittarius season to enter into this, like, can't fuck with this kind of vibe, like defying the odds, this mood of this upcoming Capricorn season. And this is our chance to also choose, make the decision to choose to look at all those minor setbacks that'll come along with Mercury retrograde, like, you know, the inconveniences and the setbacks and the mini roadblocks, seeing them more as cosmic redirections and cosmic retiming, like timelines shifting at play, instead of getting wound up in the worry and the whole like drama of the challenge. It doesn't have to be so hard. And that's a message actually that I keep receiving for so many clients. I'm doing a lot of one-on-one client readings lately inside of the container of my mentorship, Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. I also have one-on-one Akashic mentorships. Then I do Akashic readings and insights. So many themes. I feel like I'm going to have to do an episode all on this, maybe in the new year, but like themes that have been coming up time and time again for people. And one of them is we make shit harder than what it needs to be. And there's a lot of reasons why, and there's a lot of ways that we can navigate and shift things and reorient ourselves in order to move through, yes, challenges, like the blocks and the challenges aren't going to necessarily be removed poof by the snap of your fingers, but moving through them can be done in a way that is more fruitful, that is more life-affirming, that is, yes, even more pleasurable than choosing to do it the hard way. But of course, it's all really in your hands and how you want to experience it. So there's that. Mercury is turning direct on January 1st of next year, and there's going to be a positive aspect to Jupiter at that time as well, which can really bring in beautiful future visions linked to Earth and finance and growing food, and because Jupiter, again, in Taurus. But there's still a shadow period. So there's shadow period before and after Mercury retrograde period. And it could feel a little hazy at that point in time. So things aren't going to automatically clear up. But I think after January 10th, we're really going to start to feel a lifting and a clearing. And it's going to be an exciting second half of January. One thing that I mentioned before that I want to bring back is Mars. Mars is making a conjunction. It's a wide conjunction, but it's a conjunction to the new moon in Sag. Mars energy of this is making me think of like a crusader charging into battle because of your beliefs. And like there's this enthusiasm for it. There's a zeal. And this could be a religious zeal. This could be opinionated, dogmatic way of being. So that's on the shadow side of it, right? That's like the darker side of this. But there can also be positive light-filled side with this, where there's this energy of like, okay, here are the challenges ahead and I'm gonna go blazing. Like I'm here for it. And so just paying attention to that very thin line that we can cross if we lose sight of ourselves and of like where it is that we're truly wanting to go, we can dip into dogma and more of this zealousness that isn't so supportive for everybody. So that's what I have so far for this new moon and the energetics of this time. I wanted to get into a little bit more of the medical astrology side of things, and really through the lens of the energetic system of traditional Western herbalism. So we have Jupiter, I mentioned Jupiter as the ruling planet of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is a fire sign and mutable, which I mentioned before. So very adaptive, flexible, can be chameleon-like. The tissue states, when we think about the body and various tissue states, the tissue state connected to Sagittarius, there are two. Because of its heat and the fire, there could be hot excitation. So inflammation, redness, right? That's very typical, hot excitation. Also dry atrophy. So when that goes on too long, the fire can lead to dehydration, to dryness, to brittleness, and atrophy, eventually atrophy of the actual tissue. So there needs to be revitalization, there needs to be cooling process, relaxation, and also hydration coming in to support. But all of those can be really helpful when we see our tissue states in an imbalanced way through that kind of heat. The body systems connected in with Sagittarius are the hips and the thighs, also the butt, the sciatic nerve, the low spine and the liver, the cerebrum, so especially the left hemisphere, and the autonomic nervous system. So something here that I think is really critical is, again, supporting our nervous system. And again, I think I mentioned this last time. This goes for all the signs, all the time. I feel like nervous system is so, so key. And I'm really, really excited to share this interview that I have with somebody who has created a body of work that is just phenomenal. And I'm very, very excited to share that with you. Her specialty is really as it pertains to chronic illness, mystery illnesses, all of that. And these chronic illnesses that are very often hot excitation, lots of inflammation that can lead then to dry and atrophy. So that is coming out in January. Stay tuned. I know, like, I feel like I just want to shout from the rooftops because she incorporates so many of the modalities and the understandings of the body that I have come into as a clinician and a practitioner and an intuitive, and just has really brought them together in a body of work. So again, stay tuned for 2024. That's your bait to listen when the new year comes in to the Feed Your Wild podcast. Now, imbalances and diseases in connection with Sagittarius is interesting because from the traditional medical astrology perspective, diseases caused by accidents and falls, as well as sports injuries, like sport-related injuries, are connected with Sagittarius, especially those that then become chronic. And that comes back to the nervous system and how your brain is perceiving things. Also, rheumatism, sciatica, I mentioned the sciatic nerves, bruises and inflammation of the muscles, also fevers. So there are various kinds of fevers through this lens. We could say this one is from hot blood or toxic blood and inflammation, like a systemic inflammation through your body. And then issues with the low back, so lower back problems and hip injuries and strains and broken hip and all of that. I know for myself, Sag rising, I've had a lot of issues with my hips, with my low back and sciatica throughout the years. I've gotten much, much better. But it's one of those things that will creep up if I'm not taking care of myself or if something extraneous happens, did I say that word correctly, such as pregnancy. Oh my God, did my hips just like, I felt like a transformer and my hips were like widening and like breaking down. It was just crazy, the pain. But anyway, so that's where I have a little bit of weakness or like predispositioned weakness. So I encourage you to take a look at what those are for you. Typically with Sagittarius, we want to pay attention to that heat, to that excitation. We want to bring in anti-inflammatories. I think anti-inflammatories is just such a general term. We want to bring in things that are cooling, bring relaxation, bring moistening, so moistening herbs as well. And those for topical traumas, so like arnica is really wonderful. Calendula is really great. Liver tonics are also really helpful here because the liver is so connected to the heat in the body and like heat excitation. So we can bring a little bit of cooling. So that's why so many of the amazing liver supportive herbs and tonics are cooling. We want to pay attention to our liver health, and we could bring in castor oil packs is another way to be really helpful, supportive, or bring cooling oils to the hips and to the low back and doing massage. And also just learning in general how different foods and activities and situations might exacerbate or amplify these issues that you might be prone to, which are the heat excitation or like the dehydration. When we look at some of the soul level remedies for Sagittarius, dancing and music, bringing in various rituals for creativity and even your professional career endeavors, metaphysical studies here, being social in a way that is more supportive for you and bringing fun and expansion, not something that is taxing. Because I would consider myself an introvert. However, I do love socializing and dancing and music in proper doses for myself and with the right people, right? It's got to be the right vibe. So honoring that for yourself. Like all of the fire signs, Sagittarius folks can experience imbalances from that excess heat that gets trapped in the body. So whether it's from injury or from emotional turmoil that hasn't been processed or overexertion, the system can become dried and irritated and inflamed. And we also want to make sure that we are bringing in restorative practices. So restorative and centering activities that help not only to cool an overstimulated body, mind, and spirit, but to regulate the nervous system as well. And hydration is key, a key component to all of the above, and for any sign, really, for health, but for fire signs especially. So just paying attention to being dehydrated more than others, and not just bringing in water, but making sure that you're bringing in, like through the Ayurvedic lens, fats, oils that help to smooth things up in within the body, to help keep things running, and also to help balance out any potential cravings. The Sagittarians are known for a tendency to have a sweet tooth, and so I know that to be true for myself. There are other signs as well, but that's something that when you can bring in good fats and protein and hydration, that a lot of those types of cravings can be managed. As for plant allies that are coming up, really anything that is going to be cooling and moistening and bringing a sense of relaxation and supporting the nervous system is going to be helpful. But especially with a lot of this fiery energy with Mars and the Sagittarius new moon. But there is something that I wanted to bring in terms of the possibilities and the connections here to cultivating profound and deep sense of connection to divine and to your own power and imagination and abilities to co-create your reality. And from a place of centeredness, and from a place of love. So when we're doing our work to look back and reassess during this Mercury retrograde period and beginning to plant the seeds for what it is that we hope to create in the future, I think plant ally like Reishi is really, really lovely here. So Reishi, Ganoderma, is ruled by Jupiter, which rules Sagittarius. Also, Reishi is ruled by the sun, and it's known as the mushroom of immortality. It was held in high reverence by Chinese mystics, sages, and healers. So Reishi is a classic Shen tonic in traditional Chinese medicine. Shen tonic is really a category of medicines that nourish the spirit. So when Shen is disturbed, one is said to experience anxiety, tension, stress, insomnia, lack of clarity, bad dreams, poor memory. So this can be used acutely as well as long-term to support Shen, but also to support immune function. There's a lot of science and research out there that shows how Reishi contributes to the support of the immune system through immunomodulation and helping out people who are immunodeficient. There's also evidence that it supports the HPA axis, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenals axis. So especially helpful when we're feeling stressed out or run down, burnt out, or we're getting sick frequently. That's an indication that Reishi could be really useful. And Reishi is particularly useful for people with hypersensitivity. I see this with people who have a lot of allergies or increased responses to environmental triggers, also emotional, maybe there's just a bit less resilience happening. So Reishi can be really helpful in those, especially when the lungs are involved. So those with allergies and asthma, to reduce inflammation and to help out the not only the immune system, but also the nervous system. Reishi is said to, in old Chinese texts, to help stabilize qi in the head and assist in mental activities and tonifying the spleen. And so in that way, helping with improving memory and wisdom. It's also known as the herb of spiritual potency. So utilizing Reishi long-term consumption is also indicated if you want to help out lighten your body, increase vitality, and increase your connection to divine wisdom. This mushroom is profoundly relaxing for the nervous system and calming the mind and inducing a state of relaxation. So it's one of the many reasons why people might consume reishi. It's for this spiritual experience that one can experience, that one can tap into when you are in a calm state, a centered meditative state, and your brain can go into alpha and theta states. Those are the levels of vibration. When we tap into those frequencies, we can then be open to deeper levels of the mind and connection to spiritual communication. You can do a decoction with cut reishi or 1 to 2 ounces of dried reishi in 32 ounces of water, decoct for about an hour up to 3 hours until reduced by half. And then you can drink 3 to 4 cups a day of that. You can also take it in tincture form. The way that I prefer to do it is to make a sort of a tea latte with reishi, and I mix it with moringa or cordyceps, other mushroom, or maybe just have plain reishi with a dash of cinnamon, and using the dried mushroom in water as well as a little bit of coconut milk or any kind of milk that you desire. And I like it with a little bit of honey because reishi can be a bit bitter. The thing with reishi is that it is cooling, slightly cooling. It's kind of neutral or cooling, but it can be drying. So if you tend toward the dry side, and I talked about how with imbalances with Sagittarian energy, that dryness can definitely be present, then you want to bring in something that is moistening along with it. Maybe some marshmallow root, or maybe just making sure that you're upping your intake of oils and structured water and minerals in order to stay hydrated while you're working with reishi. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but at some point in my pregnancy, I came across somebody talking, but maybe it was my TCM practitioner, but I can't remember where I got this information, but I was told that there was a tradition of consuming reishi while pregnant to have a, quote, reishi baby, which was a baby that was chill, that was very gentle mannered, and didn't necessarily go super hot with moods and crying fits, and slept really well, just like a calm baby. And at some point, I was trying to have it regularly during pregnancy, and then my body had a reaction. There was an incident. I won't go into it. But anyway, I had to stop using the reishi. And now looking back, I think it was my little one who was like, F no, I ain't no reishi baby. I'm here to be on fire. And of course, I birthed a double Sag. So here we are. He's not a reishi baby at all, but I'm grateful for his fiery nature. So there you go. We can maybe sometimes bring in a little bit of support to help us out in terms of management of outcomes, but you can't change one's divine design. So that one goes in the books of lessons I've learned as a three line, and maybe it brings a little giggle to your day. Okay, and of course, I was called to pull a tarot card very last moment, just as I was about to close out this recording, and I got the message, wait, there's a tarot card for y'all. So I pulled the High Priestess reverse. So High Priestess is ruled by the moon and upright. You know, High Priestess is connected to dropping into our own intuition, intuitive rhythms, being really self-guided, having a sovereign perspective as it relates to the mysteries and our own connection. Like, there's nobody that is in between us and knowledge and divine knowledge and our intuition. It's really us. But it also can shift and change, just like the moon. It has different flavors. And it's not about connecting with the mind or mentally. It's really about a deep, deep yielding to the wildness of the moon and the unconscious and the spiritual realm, like this process of surrendering to mystery, letting go of needing to know. Now, the reversal of this, when I tune in for this particular reading, I'm getting that it's connected to those times in our lives. Maybe you're going through this right now, where we know that there's a message for us, or we're desiring to receive a particular intuitive message, but we're not getting it. Like, we could feel frustrated and exacerbated with the process. Maybe we're feeling blocked. Maybe we keep asking and asking, but we're sensing like we're not receiving. So this is just a gentle nudge to let go of the process, let go of the expectation that you're going to receive something, let go of the process. So literally just stop trying to receive, trying to hear, trying to know, and just be, reorient yourself. Say, okay, spirit, God, source, creator, high self, guides, plants, I'm here, I'm listening, and if you want my attention, then I trust you're going to give me the information in a way that is obvious, that will bring me back to an understanding, and you'll make it known. But I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to go pick up my kids from school. I'm going to wash the car, right? So getting back to life, and most importantly, get back into things that are pleasurable for you, that are enjoyable, that can bring a level of satisfaction and raise your vibration a little bit, and ease, like bring in something that gives you a sense of ease, because that's when we really become open to receiving. And again, it's, you're not doing this to receive whatever message it is that you feel like you're not able to get or you're being blocked from, but it's just to bring yourself back home to self, to recenter. And maybe it's connecting with this new moon in a really primal, embodied way. Just be without expectation of outcome or receiving. And can you be gentle with yourself around that and around this time in your life where you feel like you are blocked? So I think that's some practical advice for anybody who might be going into this moon with wanting to plant seeds and wanting to know what the future holds for them, but is maybe blocked around a vision or receiving insights or messages. So just know that it is there available to you in the right timing, and just come back home to yourself. Come back home to your life. Bring your presence and your awareness to what is right in front of you. And it will all come in due time. With that, I am sending you big, big new moon blessings, and trust that this new phase and Mercury retrograde will bring plenty of beautiful opportunities to reassess and renegotiate how you will be moving forward into the end of this year and into the new year and beyond. Sending you all my love, be well, and until next time.